podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
We got a beautiful show. We got some beautiful hosts. We got a beautiful game. We got taste. We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Hello, hello, folks. Welcome back to another edition of County Cricket Natters. And hallelujah. 4 day cricket is back. We've had a full round of county championship action, and what a round it was. Plenty of games going right down to the wire, and the sun is shining. What could be better? I'm Sam Dowling. Sadly, no Annie Chave with us this week. We wish her well. She will be back very shortly. Don't worry, and I'm sure she is listening. But I'm delighted to be joined, as ever, by Middlesex fan, Gloucestershire and Essex, commentator supreme. He's got fingers in many pies, as you would expect. Dan Whiting. Hey, Dan.
Hi, Sam. Just me and you this week. It's a bit like Saint and Greavesy without the booze.
Well, you speak for yourself, Dan. I've got a nice can just off screen. It's, you know, what is it? Lunchtime on a Thursday? Glorious, glorious. Well, look, Dan, I'm going to hand over to you without further ado, because I believe you're going to guide us seamlessly, or a few seams, few balls, cross seams, scrambled seams. Over to you.
Yeah, let's start off with that relegation battle down at Canterbury, where it was a must win for Gloucestershire, and sadly they didn't win, and they're cast adrift at the bottom of the table. Gloucestershire started off 438, Miles Hammond 66. Glenn Phillips, he was only signed for the Vitality Blast tournament, but he played a Red Bull game here and he got 125, so there's food for thought there. Kent responded with 564, partnership of 254 between Jack Leaning, got 128, and Jordan Cox, 158. Jordan Cox, the sandwich man, the town where he's from, but not his day job. There was also a 5 for 58 there from Tom Price, including a hat-trick on his first outing of the season in Red Bull cricket. But then Gloucestershire crumbled to 33 for 5, including three night watchmen there falling. Jacob Duffy doing the damage. They recovered to 213, but it wasn't enough. And Kent romped home by 8 wickets. Sam, Gloucestershire, they're down more or less already, aren't they?
It's going to be really tough for them. Things just seem to be going wrong. I mean, that game, I was watching it, I was at Taunton, and it just looked to be petering towards a draw. You thought, OK, no danger really here. Honours even. It's away from home, so escape with the points, nice. And then suddenly, as you say, Gloucestershire just imploded. Wasn't quite... Price got a hat-trick, didn't he? Duffy didn't quite get a hat-trick. I mean, at what point does Miles Hammond come out himself rather than keep sending night watchmen out? I don't know, but it's just... it's when you see a scorecard like that and when you see them throw it away, really, from that position, you know, in sport, where you can sense teams are having... it's either all going their way and they're just going to romp to doubles, trebles, titles, or it's all going against them. You know, Gloucestershire, even that Somerset T20 result, they basically lost it from an impossible position. Likewise with Kent. So you just fear for them?
Yeah, I think the social media channels with Gloucestershire aren't very pretty reading at the moment. But you're right, when it unravels properly, you know, and it just goes horrendously wrong. There have been some strange batting choices, and they really, really have to beat Lancashire now in Bristol next week, and that's going to be a tough, tough call.
Nassim Shah's not coming back now, is that right?
No, he's not coming back. So I don't know if Glenn Phillips will hang around at all at the end of the Blast contract, but he's a wonderful cricketer, and hopefully he'll hang around. Marcus Harris is out away with Australia A. He opened the batting with Matt Renshaw, where both of them failed abysmally in that one. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough times, and Gloucestershire are finding that Division One is a massive, massive jump.
They just need to make sure they don't get cut adrift. I was looking at the table a bit earlier on, and they need that win, that first win of the season, just to ensure, because it does. If you come down, what you want to be is in touch last couple of weeks of the season, and if you're not in touch, it's virtually impossible, isn't it? So they just need to get off the mark, just for confidence and psychologically as much as anything.
Yeah, traditionally they're very good at Cheltenham, and they've got two home games at Cheltenham at the end of July. I'm just hoping it's not too late by then, because they've got Lancashire in a four-dayer at the end of June, and then they've got, I think it's Essex away in mid-July. So, but they really, I mean, they could well be almost down at the end of the Cheltenham Festival, which would be horrendous. Anyway, let's move on to another side struggling in the West, and at Taunton, where there were more head injuries than happened to John Wayne Bobbitt back in the day. Somerset, 180. Two batsmen out with concussion. Surrey then responded with 382. Rory Burns, 113. Will Jacks, what a good player he looks. 88 there. Somerset then responded back with 394, thanks to what can only be described as a courageous 100 there from Lewis Gregory. And then Surrey scraped over the line thanks to 62, again from Will Jacks. And there were four wickets there for Casey Aldridge. But Somerset, the batting isn't clicking, is it?
No, it's not, Dan. I was lucky. I was there all 4 days. I had to leave just as Surrey were 3 down on the final afternoon, and it looked like, oh, is it going to become a real thriller? I had to leave, get a train back to London. But look, Lachlan Stevens, the Somerset batting coach, after they won the toss, Tom Abel, they elected to bat. It was a decent pitch, 180 all out. He came out and pulled no punches with what he said. He said, we were a little bit timid. We need to find a method. He even said, every time this season, bar one occasion, where the bowling has been good, where we've been under the pump, we've not found a way of dealing with it. And I thought there was no platitude there. It was pretty frank. He said, we've got to do a bit better second innings. And they did. Lewis Gregory batted really well. Lewis Goldsworthy made a maiden first class half century. Tom Abel, he looked set for a huge score. Tom Abel ran himself out, took on Gus Atkinson's arm. Absolute rocket of an arm. It was about good few inches short of his ground, trying to scramble back for two in a situation where you're basically batting to save the game. So just didn't go well, but they showed a lot of fight second time around. Now, a couple of words for Surrey, because they're missing some big players. Folks, Pope, Curran, Topley from that championship side. No De Grand, Tom. Jason Roy also of England, but he doesn't play this game. They came down. Hashim Amla was ill. There was so much went on that first day. Hashim Amla batted in the evening of the first day, but actually wasn't well enough to continue in the first innings. He came back out late on day four, but we hadn't seen him until then. Dan Worrell, you'd have seen him a bit at Gloucestershire last year. Absolutely superb bowler. Has it on a string, swings it both ways. He was superb up top. And Jamie Overton is just maturing. There were just signs that he is at the top of his game. He picked up free for first couple of spells, and he said afterwards, pitch was doing a bit, so I just held it back a bit. All I needed to do was swing it around. Didn't need to bowl flat out. And you think, oh, you wouldn't have said that 2 years ago. You'd have just tried to bowl and hit people the entire time. And he said, 50 overs in, it stopped doing stuff. So I thought, right, now I'm going to have to bowl quickly. And he did. And he said, you know, I didn't mean to. You never want to hit people as a fast bowler, but actually it's part of the trade. And so second boy in professional cricket against his twin brother, bonk on the helmet. He went down. Craig went off. It looked all okay. Josh Davey was at the other end, batting all right, following over, hit Josh Davey in the head as well. So Josh Davey didn't come back. He was concussion subbed out that night. Jamie actually said afterwards, look, I knew Craig was all right. He didn't play the short ball very well. Craig basically tried to take him on, fair play to him. And he'd been wrapped on the fingers by Worrell previously. Long story short, Craig Overton had signs of delayed concussion, so they subbed him out of the game. That brought Casey Aldridge in. Martin De Langer also came in. So it was all changed. The scorers had an absolute... they did a sterling job to keep on top of it. But then I forgot, Rory Burns made an absolutely wonderful 100, just the ballast that Surrey needed. And Will Jacks, as you said, 80 in the first innings, 60 in the second as well. when there was a potentially tricky chase on. I can't see Surrey being stopped this season, not in the county championship. They'll definitely get to T20 finals day. Then it becomes a bit of a lottery, but what a team they are.
They certainly are. They've got massive strength in depth. But not a lot of brotherly love down at Taunton by the sound of it. It sounds like, you know, an episode of Casualty going on there, with people dropping down ill, people going off with concussion, subs coming in, subs, you know, people going off. It sounds sounds like a commentator's nightmare, Sam.
It was a little bit. We were trying to just, you kind of living it live and saying, oh, we're not sure what's happening here. Oh, who's coming out now? And we weren't sure if the innings would end because of players not being able to come back out. But then we realised you could come out and replace as a batter. It was all going on, but great fun. Beautiful day. Beautiful crowd at Taunton. One thing I should point, Dan Kingdom flagged this, it's been picked up on. That was the last day of county championship cricket at a weekend. Somerset will play home or away this season. And I'm not just talking from a Somerset perspective. That's across the board for a lot of counties, which to me is a disgrace. It's mid-June.
I saw that. It's a travesty. And it's no wonder that the four-day game is, you know, well, people say they're struggling. We don't say that, though, do we, Sam? We don't say that. We love it. Anyway, let's move on up to Birmingham, where Sam Hain got 130 and Warwickshire's 292. Lancashire responded one run short, 291, thanks to Stephen Croft with 90. Warwickshire batted again, 327 for 9. Alex Davis with 121 against his old county. But Lancashire, they got 330 for 6 to win by 4 wickets. Luke Wells, 175, not out. Will Williams made his debut there for Lancashire. He's a New Zealander. He's got the lovely name of William Salter Austin Williams. And he's a 29-year-old from Christchurch. He averages just 22 with a ball in first-class cricket. There's a lot of good Kiwis around, aren't there? Even, you know, I mean, they're a good side at test level, but even below that, I mean, we spoke about Glenn Phillips earlier, Will Williams there. There's some good ones in county cricket, aren't there, Sam?
Yeah, loads of them. They're absolutely fantastic. Will Williams, Harry Everett, one of my co-commentators, and is a friend of the show too. He said he was playing, Will Williams was playing club cricket for Bridgewater when he got the call-up, so Harry didn't feel too bad about making 2 off 20 balls opening the batting against him when he realised he was actually basically a first-class bowler, and so went up and did absolutely brilliantly. So hats off, and ended up helping Lancashire on their way to victory. I mean, before we talk about Luke Wells, quick, as you said, Sam Hain, 100. What we should say is yet another 100.
Yeah.
In his last 3 first-class games, he's made 202 not out, 109 not out against Yorkshire, and now 130 against Lancashire. For some reason, he seems to be off the radar of England selectors. We've talked about his List A prowess. I mean, got to be worth a go at some point, surely, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where he fits in. I mean, in that middle order for England, I'd say that Harry Brook is probably the next cab off the rank. It's opening the batting, isn't it, for England? I mean, yeah, all right, Lee's got a few runs. Zach Crawley looks horrendously out of nick. I mean, he's nicking off more than a junior copper going for promotion. He just looks in bits. His foot movement's negligible, and I think England might need a new opener. But I want to go back to Bridgewater, because you've done a lot of work recently, haven't you, with the lad who got beaten up on a night out in Bridgewater. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, thanks, Dan, actually. Yeah, Mondly Tamalo, who was over South African under-19 international, was playing in his first stint over here for North Peverton Cricket Club. It's quite local to Taunton. It's a club where the likes of Ian Blackhorn and Mike Burns have played previously. And basically, he got struck on a night out, hit his head on the pavement as he fell, and fractured skull, in an induced coma for 5 days. It was really touch and go a couple of times. He had 2 or 3 operations to remove pressure on the brain. There's a lad called Lloyd Irish, who I know, who's actually one of the better non-league goalkeepers around, also plays for North Peverton. He's been there by his bedside. A chap called Rob Humphreys, his agent, has been there by his bedside. Mum and uncle are now over. Mum had never left her town before in South Africa, didn't have passports, didn't have visas, Cricket South Africa interjected. I mean, the response of cricket has been wonderful, and people might have seen there's some amazing videos of a week on, Mondi is stood up taking catches with a cricket ball, and there's footage of him saying, yeah, I want to play my next game. So it's a long, long way to recovery. The doctors are saying it's an absolute miracle. They've never seen anything like it. Everyone I've spoken to about him just says he was the loveliest human going. It's touched a lot of hearts. We're putting together a charity auction, a bit like the one we did last winter. People like Labuschagne, Sean Massoud, Neil Wagner, Jack Leach, all straight involved, no hesitation. It's been brilliant. Kyle Abbott too, sending a shirt along. Chris Cook at Glamorgan, it's been fantastic. George Linder from Kent left me a shirt at the Blast game on Friday night. So yeah, you know, it's just sad that it sometimes takes the worst of humanity for us to see shine a light on the best of it too.
Yeah, it's a fantastic response. And you know what's amazing about this game is we give each other the shit, don't we? I mean, you give me enough shit about Middlesex and vice versa. But underneath it all, this wonderful sport underpins a way of life and, you know, shows all the good things in humanity, really. And it's fantastic to see. Anyway, let's get back to what's gone on elsewhere. And Southampton at the Bowl, Yorkshire, 428, George Hill, 131. Brad Wheel, having gone out on loan to Gloucestershire, has come back, reinvented the wheel with 4 for 59. Hampshire, 410. Ben Brown, 83 of those. Then Yorkshire were 178 all out. 3 wickets apiece for Keith Barker, Kyle Abbott and Brad Wheel again. And then Hants got it 8 down. They struggled. It was only Liam Dawson with 67. Nick Gubbins, 42. And there were 6 in the game for Jordan Thompson. But Hampshire look like they're right on Surrey's tails, don't they, Sam?
Yeah, I suspect Surrey would have been kind of driving home. They finished a little bit earlier, just with half an eye on that, thinking, come on, Yorkshire, do us a favour there. But Hampshire, quality outfit, they will chase them all the way. Brad Wheel, quality bowler. I don't think he needs to reinvent anything, although I did enjoy the segue. I think it just lets the sign of how strong Hampshire were. Mohammed Abbas was there. He couldn't get a look in. They've got Abbott, they've got Barker, they've got Wheel, strength and depth. To have they were in a bit of trouble, you know, to have Dawson and Vince in that middle order, the experience, and you've got Ben Brown, you look at the side, Barker, Fuller, so much cricket, so much talent. I still think, I've said it already, so I can't really change my mind in 10 minutes. I think Surrey will win it, but Hampshire could run them all the way, and you never know. Jordan Thompson at Yorkshire, he is a cricketer that makes things happen. Like, if you're going into session 4, last half hour, you need 3 wickets. Yorkshire need 3 wickets to win, 40 runs to play with. Jordan Thompson, he's the one saying, chuck me the ball, Skip, but he is the one you throw it to. You need a wicket, Jordan Thompson makes it happen.
Yeah, for me, Hampshire's batting will probably let them down at some point, and I just don't think that they've got the depth of Surrey, the strength of Surrey, and I don't think they'll quite make it. Jordan Thompson, I've got a lot of time for this guy. He's a type 1 diabetic, and to overcome that, to play professional sport, is an amazing achievement. He's also a top, top lad. When we had him at Gloucestershire in the first home game of the season, he was fielding down in front of a stag group from Froster Cricket Club in Gloucestershire, and they turned up with 11 guys in their whites, 2 umpires and a duck. And Jordan Thompson was fielding down in front of them and misfielded. And they gave him a bit of stick. He took it well. And I believe that they gave him an invite to the wedding. So,
excellent.
Anyway, that rounds up Division 1. So let's go through the table. Surrey top the table with 127. Hampshire just 3 points behind, 124. Then there's a gap down to Lancashire, 108. Another gap to Yorkshire, 96. And then there's another gap with 3 sides. Warwickshire, 78. Essex, 76, who didn't play this week. Kent, 75. Northampton, 66. Somerset, 61. And Gloucestershire adrift at the bottom with 41. Sam?
Before we move on, very quick word, because we forgot it earlier. Luke Wells, 175, not out. England need an opener. That man's gone up to Lancashire having been at Sussex all his career, is doing the job, ground out. That's not an easy chase. To get 175 out of 330-odd wickets around him, proper technique, that lad, proper four-day player, can play white ball cricket too, but top of the order, England could do worse.
Yeah, he catches pigeons at slip as well, doesn't he? He's a proper, proper player. Let's move on to Division 2 and the East Midlands Derby, where there's a bit of bad blood between these two counties, isn't there? Because, you know, a lot of players have been brought through the system at Leicestershire, and then in the eyes of Leicestershire fans, Nottinghamshire have nicked them. So the Robin Hood used to rob the rich to pay the poor. The Robin Hood of the modern day robs the poor to make the rich richer. But that's the way of the world at the moment, isn't it? Anyway, let's move off away from politics. Leicestershire, the hosts, they got 440. Lewis Hill, 104. Colin Ackerman, 116. Nottinghamshire then responded, bullied them. Ben Duckett, 145. And then Leicestershire crumbled to 99 all out. Liam Patterson White, 4 for 15 to lead Nottinghamshire and winners by an innings and 9 runs. Sam, before we go on to Nottinghamshire, because, you know, we've spoken about them a lot, Leicestershire, Colin Ackerman, we worked on the game last year with him, and he's lovely to watch, isn't he?
I was just, when you said his name, my memories just went back to Merchant Taylor School where we were. Because, you know, I don't get to see Leicestershire that much. And you know he scores runs. And isn't he the T20 world record holder of bowling as well? Got a 7-for or something. But yeah, he was so easy on the eye that day. And I can imagine this was another similar knock. He doesn't skipper them anymore, does he? He's Callum Parkinson. And you think that top four is not bad, you know. Azad, Rishi Patel, Lewis Hill got 100, Colin Ackerman. And when they got 440, you're just like, go on, Leicestershire then. Like, they might not win the game, but you shouldn't lose the game getting 440 in the first innings. I know Gloucestershire did in the first division. But yeah, you do wonder if it's one of those teams where there's so much pressure on him to score runs. And if he doesn't get scores, does that... the correlation between Ackerman not making runs and the team not making runs as a collective is probably too close.
Yeah. Whilst we're on Leicestershire, massive, massive kudos to their chairman there. Sean Jarvis, is that his name? Who he gave tickets for £10 to Vitality Blast games, and they've sold out. And in general, Blast crowds have been down around the country. And for him to do that, it's the add-ons they get. Those guys will all go and buy a burger. They'll go and buy 2 or 3 pints at the bar. And it's really good forward thinking, don't you think, Sam?
Yeah, spot on. You know, and also lots of family, I think family tickets were available. And that there's been a bit of a kind of murmurings this year that some of the Blast crowds are actually not that well behaved. I think it's a general theme, isn't it, post-COVID, that crowds are a little bit rowdier and it's sometimes not as nice. And so he's gone out and trying to bring the families in. They do an amazing job there. And it's exactly like you say, I saw him tweet some stats. I haven't got them in front of me. But he goes, well, yeah, suddenly our takings in the shop are up 30, 40, 50%. And that's all stuff by just, you're still getting the money by getting people through the gates. You're making it reasonably priced. You're making it accessible and you're including people. You see some clubs charging 35, 40 quid for a T20. And I know you can make the argument about value and people look at Premier League football tickets and whatever. But the fact is, whatever there is the value in it for some people, if you simply price people out, then you're not including them. And so there's never going to be value for them. So I love what Leicestershire are doing. I really want them to do a little bit better on the pitch. They're doing all right in the T20, but brilliant work.
Yeah, it's not just the value of them attending for one game. It's having a good time and attending for 2-3 more in the future, isn't it? And I agree with you on ejections as well. Somerset put out a statement last week, didn't they, about they've had a number of ejections down there and there've been hostile crowds at, Canterbury have got a little bit of a, they like to get on the sauce down there. Chelmsford can be a bit of a bear pit. And I saw a couple ejected last week out of Bristol. I don't know who they supported. Go on.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I feel like you've had to do all the, you've been parky tonight, so I'm going to turn it around on you. Not tell me about Nottinghamshire. I mean, how good are they? And they're not quite cantering to the title yet, though.
No, they're not, but they will do. I thought Middlesex might push them close, but we'll come on to that soon. But they've just got quality, you know, right through their side. And what they're doing as well is they're bringing through their youngsters. Liam Patterson-White looks a wonderful cricketer. So they're not just, you know, nicking them from other counties, as is the sort of perception of Nottinghamshire. They're actually bringing through their own. Ben Duckett's had a new lease of life. He seems to, all right, he's come from another county, but he's had a new lease of life with 145 there. And whilst on the subject of Nottinghamshire, can I just say that the ground staff produced an absolutely wonderful wicket for that test match we saw last week, where all four results were possible going into the final session of day five. And, you know, you can't get better than that.
No, and speaking of ticket prices and bringing people in, well played, Trent Bridge, whoever made those decisions. It's a no-brainer. Suddenly, you know, day five crowds can be down. People have had the best day of their life. There have been kids that have gone to that would never have otherwise gone for a day's test cricket. They've been, that's just got them hooked. And they'll have made 2-3 times the amount behind the bar in the shop than they would have done on a normal day five, where they perhaps only had 25, 30, 40% of the crowd. So, yeah, good decisions. They're logical, but they're not always made.
Yeah, I spoke to one of the chief execs of a county a few years back. I'm not going to name names here, but they said that with a test match, the ideal length of it from a financial point of view is 4 days because of the operation, etc. So, yeah, no, well done. Anyway, let's move further up the M1. From Leicester, and let's go up to Chesterfield and the beautiful Queen's Park and the crooked spire of the Chesterfield. Is it a church or a cathedral that overlooks the ground? But it's what Chesterfield's famous for. But this was a game of two Tobies. Middlesex got 2-5-1. Toby Pettman for Derbyshire, 3-40. Derbyshire then batted again. They got 2-2-9. Toby Rowland-Jones, 5-45. Middlesex batted again, 196. Mark Stoneman, 67. But Derbyshire cantered home by 6 wickets, thanks to Sean Massoud with 98. And we've got our roving reporter at the ground, Annie Chave, who's having a chat with Mickey Arthur. So let's go to Annie.
I've only got a couple of questions to ask you. You're a South African. I've been arguing with another certain South African. He claims that the county championship is mediocre and boring. Do you find the county championship mediocre and boring,
Mickey? No, I've loved it. I thought it's been really good. But what I've seen from our Derbyshire side is a lot of young players wanting to get better. And every day they come into training, they train to get better. The standards that we set are the standards that are equivalent that I've set with international teams all around the world, and the guys generally meet those standards. There's a lot of players that as I've always said want to become the best players that they can possibly be, and I think certainly in our setup we're providing them with that structure in order for them to progress their careers. So for me, what I've seen with our guys has been fantastic. I thought the county championship has been very well fought this year.
Yep.
I think there's been some wonderful cricket played so far, and I'm really excited to be working in.
And this is second division.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. We haven't played any Division One sides.
Yeah.
We had a pre-season game against Lancashire, and they were very, very good. I'd probably say that, without wanting to sound too politically incorrect, but I'd say Nottinghamshire that we've played are probably Division One standard.
Uh-huh.
And that was a really, really hard-fought, keenly contested game.
Yep.
But I thought the standards through the game were really good. There was, in that game, there was four outside international players, when you bring in Dave Patterson, James Patterson, Saranga, and Sean. And then it was sprinkled with a lot of guys that had played for England. So
yeah.
And it was really really well fought through the 4 days. So are the standards really, really good?
Okay, and we've seen a lot of centuries and double centuries. What would you put that down to? Do you think it's down to the grounds, the balls, or do you think it's just good technique? Or
I put that down. I think the weather's been exceptional. Yeah. We haven't lost, apart from coming off the snow in Oxford in a pre-season game. We haven't lost a session to Crete through the whole summer so far. So I think that does play a role.
Yeah.
I think playing on really good wickets will make players better.
Yeah.
Your bowlers have to become better because they've got to get enough balls in the right area. You know, so they've got to learn to build pressure. They've got to learn to control the run rate. It makes them international bowlers. So on flat wickets, they've got to do that. Allows them to trust their technique. Allows them to trust their defence. When they trust their defence and trust their technique, they know they can get in and score big runs, and that's what they've done.
Absolutely. And we're going to see you in Derbyshire next year then? Is that your plan?
100% of this, yes, yes. Hopefully for a couple of years to come.
Excellent. Well, it's lovely to meet you.
Thank you. Good to meet you too, Annie. Take care.
Sam, Mickey Arthur's obviously a happy man after that result. It's a great result for Derbyshire.
Fantastic. They are just exceeding expectations. They're in there. We talked about Nottinghamshire. We talked about Middlesex. Glance at the table, who's just behind them, and Derbyshire. They gave them a bit of a run for their money down at Lords on day four. All results were possible. Shah Masood, I mean, Middlesex will be sick of the sight of Shah Masood, or I suspect they're not the only bowling attack that are. He's a class act. I mean, Wayne Madsen as well is having a bit of a sparkling season. I don't think he's been as good as he has been in the past the last couple of years, but this year maybe we're having someone like Masood around. It's just inspired him, and that must happen. Just brings the other players up a level having him in there. I saw a lovely photo of him with his family in there as well. So brilliant to get them across to the parks to watch some county cricket. Yeah, it's no what Mickey Arthur, what a job he's doing there. And they've got a good side. But, you know, we talked about the New Zealanders, Glenn Phillips playing T20 cricket and then four-day cricket. Mark Watt, the Scotland spinner, is in there in the Derbyshire side. He's playing T20 cricket, but also in this game. And I'm going to ask you, from the other end, disappointing result for Middlesex, but if Stuart Broad or Jimmy Anderson is unavailable at some point during the summer, is the next man in Toby Rowland-Jones?
Probably not, but I'd like to see him. He's never let anyone down. He's averages under 20 with the ball for England. Not many people do that at test level. I think he's 19.88 or something like that, his test bowling average. So, you know, the quality is obviously there. It's whether Middlesex can keep him fit. And if they can, then, I mean, he is the reason why, or one of the reasons why they're at the top of the table. Going back to Wayne Madsen, I believe he went through 20,000 career runs for Derbyshire the other day. And, you know, what a player. And he stayed loyal to his county as well. He's had offers from other places to go, as would anyone who churns out the amount of runs that he does. But absolutely fantastic from Wayne Madsen. Let's move on down to Cardiff. And Sussex had Jack Brooks there on loan, came in from Somerset. But it was Oliver Carter, 185, as Sussex were 376 all out. There were four wickets there for Andrew Salter. Glamorgan then, they lost Di Lloyd early, but there was a partnership of 328 between Eddie Byram, 176. I believe he's known as Eddie the Mute due to being a quiet character down at Somerset. And Colin Ingram got 178. Glamorgan ended up 494 all out. Sussex then 258. Carter 83. They had Glamorgan rocking at 9 for 3, but Sam Northeast and Kieran Carlson, both with 45, saw them home by 5 wickets, despite the great efforts there of Sean Hunt and Jack Brooks. Sam, the loan system, it's becoming more and more prevalent, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of writing something about it, actually, because I think it's really interesting. It's great. Jack Brooks has gone out there. In the end, I think you get the grumbles from Somerset fans going, oh, we needed him this week because he would have been in the team. But you can't legislate for two concussions
No.
But yeah, it's interesting to see where they go it, because initially they've reduced over time. They've reduced the period of the minimum period of a loan. It's now down to 2 weeks. And from what I gather, essentially they are rubber stamped. It's the aim is brilliant. It's about getting players out to play cricket. Young players, slightly older players like Jack Brooks, brilliant for, you know, he might not have taken as many wickets as he'd have liked, but for those Sussex young boys in that side to have a double county championship winner and a character like Jack Brooks in their side, brilliant. I do think, and this isn't a criticism of this loan or any loan in particular, and I've said it before on the show, I think we probably need to get a little bit ahead of the game, be prevention rather than cure. Because, I mean, who would have said a year or two ago, you'd have gone, oh, well, there'll be players retiring out in the Blast to give players who are better runners or with a better strike rate a chance to come in. You'd have gone, oh, no, yeah. No chance. So yeah. Why, while teams now aren't necessarily manipulating it at the moment, sport is about pushing the boundary. Everyone in sport pushes the boundaries, pushes the rules, the laws, to get as big an advantage as they can. And my worry is that you get the bigger, maybe richer sides holding on to more players and then just being able to manipulate the system a little bit and go, oh, we're going to put that player there for that couple of games because it suits us. But actually we're going to pull them back because we need them. We don't need the team we're loaning them to win that week. And I know that that's going to an extreme level, but as I say, prevention better than cure. I think you've got to get your squad sorted largely in the winter. Maybe emergency loans, or if they're longer term, or with a view to permanent signing, great. But it's a difficult one.
One of the strange things about cricket is a lot of the action or transfer action, well, it's not transfer action, but it will be soon. I'm sure there'll be a transfer system in place. It tends to happen during the season as opposed to football where there are windows. But, I mean, I don't think, you know, you can blame Jack Brooks is out of contract at the end of the season. He's 38 years old. He needs to be playing. We also saw Nathan Souter this week. He's gone out on loan up to Durham. And, you know, he's going to be leaving Middlesex at the end of the season.
Yeah, no blame at all attributed to the players. So it's not accusing anyone of doing anything wrong. But I just wonder if we need to think about, okay, integrity of the competition. Does it need to be for half the season? Does it need to be for the entire campaign? Does it need to be slightly longer minimum periods? Do you keep emergency loans a bit like football goalkeepers? So if you need a wicketkeeper, it's such a specialist position. Because, you know, I mean, Sussex have been hit by injury. There are other sides that have maybe made loans and it's more about form. And I'm not so... You pick your squad at the start of the season and if you've got players that are fit, batters that are fit or whatever, they should really be playing over you being able to bring someone in for one game.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's move on up to the North East. Not Sam North East. Durham, at Chesler Street, where Rachin Ravindra, 217 he got. Ben Rain, 103. Paul Coughlin, 100. Durham, 642 for 7. Worcestershire then responded, 550. Brett D'Oliveira, 100. Ed Bernard, again in the runs. He got 100. Durham then had time to finally get to 102 for none on what looks like a flat one, and probably was the most stale sporting event seen in the North East since Steve Bruce was manager at Newcastle United. Bit of a grim one, but Rachin Ravindra is another New Zealander, Sam, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, and he's just what New Zealand need, actually, because we've seen a couple of the, you know, Daryl Mitchell, Michael Bracewell, brilliant players, but a lot of their squad are in their early to mid-30s. So as brilliant as they've been, Ross Taylor talked a little bit about it when I was very lucky to speak to him. They need a bit of succession planning. And someone like Ravindra is the future. He's a lovely, lovely human being. He didn't stop smiling when I was very fortunate to speak to him. He had that amazing, I can't remember, I don't know if you remember it, but over the winter, he and Ajaz Patel were the two that kept out Ravichandran Ashwin, Ravindra Jadeja, and Axar Patel for almost, it felt like an eternity to save that test for New Zealand. So he knows how to bat time. He's got a lovely story. Parents love cricket. His dad formed this club called Hutt's Hawk Club. They lived in New Zealand, but they used to go on tours over to India at all kind of levels. People like Jimmy Neesham had been on those tours. So he was playing over in India almost every year from as a youngster. And he was just in Dublin, he said, with his mates, got a call. And Durham said, do you fancy it? Naturally, he said yes. I think it's fair to say that that phone call paid dividends, albeit not in points. And I think he's going to try, the word is he's going to try and play some club cricket up in the northeast, which is a good standard. And that suggests to me there might have been a conversation saying, well, you stay in the air, Arachin. Don't go too far, because there might be a use for you later in the season.
Yeah, Marcus North's a canny operator up there, and he's got that sort of Australian pragmatism, isn't he? And he's doing a good job. I know they're third from bottom, but that table is very, very tight. Nottinghamshire are streets ahead on 131. Middlesex have slipped to second, 121. And then you've got a host of sides who are all pushing it. Glamorgan 104, Derbyshire 104, Worcestershire 103, Durham 98. Then there's a big, big gap down to Sussex on 58 and Leicestershire on 54. Sam, next year, no one knows what's going to happen yet. There's going to be three divisions of six potentially, or if it's two divisions of nine, there's talk in this week about, Yorkshire have had been charged with disrepute from the ECB. And there's sure to be some sanctions that come off the back of that. It's been mooted on social media that there's a potential relegation there, or, taking away the Headingley test is another option, perhaps. How's next season shaping up in your eyes? Or don't we know?
We just don't know, which is madness. The Yorkshire situation, I don't think we'll cover it here, but we're well aware it's happening. And those charges have been brought, and that will be dealt with in due course. But for them in particular, but for every side, how can you start a competition not knowing what you're playing for? Because that's essentially what we're doing. We're going, these are the bottom two in Division One, so will they go down? But actually, that might not be the case at all. It might be actually you have to finish in the top six, and then the bottom four of Division One go into Conference Two, and then the top two don't get promoted from Division Two. Like, I just don't see how, as a player or how, as a club, you can plan ahead with that without knowing at the start of the season. It's just nonsense, Dan.
No, it's like going for a night out in a restaurant without booking a table, isn't it, Sam? So there you go. Anyway, that rounds up this week's action.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Dan. I think that was pretty seamless. You did a fine job shepherding us through eight county championship games. Lovely. I mean, we don't have Annie with us in person here today, but lovely to hear from her and chatting to Mickey Arthur up at Derbyshire too. Fantastic addition to county cricket. I love Derbyshire as a club. There's some really good people around there, both, David Griffin, Dave Fletcher, the commentator. I mean, go and follow Dave Griffin on Twitter. He's absolutely hilarious. Mickey Arthur, Chesterfield. They've got another game there as well, haven't they, at the weekend against Yorkshire, I think it is, in the T20. Love outground cricket. Paul Edwards was there.
You've got to love outground cricket. I mean, if there are less championship games, the outground is going to die, isn't it? And I'm off next month to Cheltenham, which I'm really looking forward to. And, I'm sure Arundel's another good one, isn't it, where people love down there. And outground cricket is absolutely wonderful. And Queen's Park is, I believe Sachin Tendulkar described it as one of his favourite grounds of all time. So it doesn't get a better endorsement than that, does it?
No, I hope they've got that like on a sign out. A bit like, Guardian 4 stars, Telegraph 4 stars, Tendulkar, best ground I've ever played.
A blue plaque on the pavilion.
Absolutely. If they haven't got one, they need to get one soon. Right, well, Dan, look, thanks very much. Your company has been magnificent as ever.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. It's been an absolute pleasure. And we'll see you next week, won't we, Sam?
Yeah, we'll be back towards the more Red Bull fixtures. I don't know, this four-day cricket, it might catch on. This has been County Cricket Natters with Dan Whiting and myself, Sam Dalling. We'll speak to you soon. We got some beautiful chow. Well then, now Dan and I were just having a post-County Cricket Natters natter. And into my email inbox dropped a lovely email from the ECB saying, Jamie Overton had been added to the England squad for the next test against New Zealand. I had a quick check. It's not in lieu of his brother. The twins are in there. Dan, what do you think about that?
Well, he deserves it, doesn't he? As you said earlier, he's
bowling real heat at the moment, proper wheels. And, you know, England needs someone like that. They've got about seven fast bowlers out, all with the same injury as well, all with lower back injuries. And, you know, I haven't seen Jamie Overton. He didn't play in the game against Gloucestershire at Bristol. But, you know, from what I'm hearing from everyone around, everyone said he deserves his chance.
Yeah, deserves his chance, Jamie Overton. He's in brilliant form, form of his career. As I was saying a bit earlier in the show, he looks to have matured, and he's worked a lot with Azam Mahmood, the Surrey bowling coach. I mean, that what that bloke can do with a ball is absolutely magic. Jamie speaks very highly of him. Well-deserved. He's been talked about for about 10 years, despite being still a relative youngster. Since he was 18, he's been in and around those England fast bowling camps and squads for various different games. Will he finally get his chance? I kind of hope so. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see, well, two Overtons from a Somerset and Surrey perspective? Yeah, Jamie has that extra pace that can just make batters jump around a bit.
Yeah, no, fingers crossed and good luck. Good luck to Jamie. Good luck to Craig. And with the series wrapped up, I think it's a way to have a look at these guys as well.
We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Sports Social Podcast Network.